The contents of the lab report are meant for educational purposes only. They are not meant to be misconstrued as medical diagnosis or treatment advice.
Today on the lab report, we're going to talk all about nature therapy.
Yeah, the physiological effects of grounding.
It's spring, people. Have fun out there.
Get outside.
I mean, unless it's like a thunderstorm out there.
The world of medicine can be challenging. Clinicians and patients are always looking for more options, more effective treatments, and in the end, more answers. Functional and integrative medicine focuses on addressing root causes of disease. Here at Genova Diagnostics, we've watched this field evolve and grow for over 35 years. We've not only adapted, we've led. Join us as we talk about functional medicine, laboratory testing, and optimizing health. Welcome to the Lab Report.
Do we really need a disclaimer to tell people not to go out in the storm and get struck by lightning?
I don't know. We can consult with legal. Is Travis on legal?
No.
Okay. Hello!
Hi, Michael Chapman.
Hi, Patty Devers. How are you today?
I'm doing good. You know, we should be doing this outside.
We should be doing this outside, and it's raining.
Oh, then let's not.
Yeah, the equipment does not work very well.
No.
Robots don't work very well. And I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. Travis, how are you doing? Travis says he's doing well.
Someone should tell his face.
I know, right? I don't think I've ever seen that guy uncross his arms.
Nope.
Anyway, this is a podcast called The Lab Report, brought to you by Genova Diagnostics, where we talk about things like functional medicine, specialty lab testing, integrative therapeutics, and the great outdoors.
And hey, thanks for stopping by. If you're new, welcome. If you're returning, thanks again. But maybe you could go to iTunes or Spotify and feel free to subscribe to the show. Maybe hit the rate, the review, some stars, leave us some feedback there.
If you have additional feedback, you can email podcast@gdx.net. You know, we should set up a voicemail line.
Do you think?
Wouldn't that be interesting?
Hmm.
I wonder what kind of questions we'd get on the voicemail.
I wonder what Joe's voice sounds like.
I mean, he's my neighbor. I can tell you. I can bring him in here.
Do that. Why don't we have a guest appearance?
From Joe?
Yeah, and he could bring his leaves and his lawnmower.
Joe is a little bit of a recluse.
Well, speaking of leaves.
Chappers, what are we talking about today?
Good question, Oliver. Today we are going to be focusing in on nature therapy. And you might be thinking to yourself, I've never heard of nature therapy. I bet I can understand what it might consist of, though.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of all the rage these days, something called grounding or earthing.
It's getting popular out there. Yeah,
and since it's spring, we thought this might be a good topic to hit because it's becoming pretty niche and cool.
And since it's niche and cool,
mm-hmm.
That's what's important to us. We follow all things niche and cool, and it is spring as well. You're totally right. And not only is it spring, it's beautiful out today. I'm going to open a window.
I thought you said it was raining.
I never said that.
Must have been Travis.
Isn't that nice?
It is.
A little spring breeze.
It's beautiful.
Aromatics from the flowers.
And I will say, although nature therapy is hip and niche, there is some real evidence-based scientific research underlying this.
And that's what we're all about, right?
That's right.
Like, we don't just want to just take things at face value, mm-hmm. like nature.
Although, it's ridiculous that they have to do research to say nature is good for you. That's ridiculous, right?
I think I see your point. It does seem pretty intuitive that nature might be good for us.
Mm-hmm.
Getting out into nature might be good for us. But it also kind of depends on what kind of nature we're talking about.
Such a good point.
Right? Because we did actually, like, we kind of built houses and things for a reason, because there's actually things out there in nature that want to, like, you know, kill us or eat us. So I think maybe we should define what kind of nature we're talking about. Like,
I agree with that.
Trail hike, sitting by a river, good. Bear
chased.
Attack,
yeah.
Not so great.
Fair point. So let's get into the basics around what exactly is nature therapy. But okay. To be honest, these birds are distracting me. I could barely focus on what you're saying.
They're right there out
it's
the window.
Too loud. I mean, can we close that?
Did somebody drop some bird feed right there?
I mean, it's too loud, Michael.
Let me
too
close
much.
The window a little bit. That's better. Okay, so you're telling me that there's evidence-based medicine approaches to nature therapy.
And I'm telling you that nature therapy isn't just going out and looking at the birds. Like, there are very specific types of nature therapy that I think we could break down and give some research around.
So wait, you're telling me there's different types of nature therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let's take a step back.
Okay.
Let's just define nature therapy. Oh, yeah. You know what time it is. It's time to define some terms!
Wow.
Yeah. Is that word in the dictionary?
Quite a jingle there, Michael.
Let's talk about what nature therapy means.
Well, according to the International Journal of Environmental Research and Public Health, there was an article that was published called The Physiological Effects of Nature Therapy. It's a review article. Mm-hmm. And they actually define nature therapy as a set of practices aimed at achieving preventative medical effects through exposure to natural stimuli that render a state of physiological relaxation and boost the weakened immune functions to prevent disease. And they actually go into the specifics saying that it includes forest therapy, urban green space, plants, flowers, foliage, and wooden material therapy.
Forest, trees, flowers, plants.
And wood.
And wood that affect you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that just sounds like a lot of words for being in nature is relaxing.
That's right. But they're actually showing in the research that there are measurable effects that can help boost your immune system and prevent chronic disease.
Okay, well, let's just pick one of these out and talk about it a little bit. I'm specifically interested in the forest therapy bit. Mm-hmm. Seems to be a lot of history there. And there's this interesting approach in the Japanese culture called Shinrin-yoku.
What is it?
Shinrin-yoku.
Oh.
And that literally means taking in the forest atmosphere through all of our senses.
Aww.
Right? Sounds pretty nice.
It does.
And it's also called forest bathing.
See, I would like to take a forest bath.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting how they arranged some of these studies. They were actually measuring things like salivary cortisol, blood pressure, heart rate variability, and different biometrics. And so it's kind of funny the way that they designed these, because they would have people spend time in forest, and then they had a control group, which was like, go sit in the somewhere in the city. Yeah, and so they had to swap. Like, one day you go sit in the forest, and then another day you go sit in the city. And I just think to myself, on the days they're like, oh, you're in the city today. It's like, oh, man. Yeah, and so what they found is that, not surprisingly, right?
Right.
The people who are in the forest had much significantly lower salivary cortisol, blood pressure, pulse rate, and even their heart rate variability went from a more sympathetic dominant stage to a more autonomic balance. So there you go, right?
Well, that's common sense, but there has to be more to it.
Oh, there's more to it.
Well, go ahead. Let's see what you got.
Not only did they find sort of these improvements in blood pressure, pulse, heart rate variability, they also found in other studies that forest walking had an ability to lower blood glucose levels even more substantially than just the mere aspect of walking. They looked at hemoglobin concentrations in the prefrontal cortex, found improvements there, and actually the ability to improve natural killer cell function.
Whoa.
Right.
But I know what you're thinking.
What?
Not everyone has access to a forest, right?
I was thinking that. And I was also thinking, like, what if it's not a forest but some other landscape? Like, what if it's, you know, Tucson, Arizona?
Well,
right?
Well, I would say this. Part of the studies also include the fact that they took a bunch of people and they put them in a hotel room and they were using olfactory senses. Like, you're smelling coniferous tree's wood, right? The wood oil. And what they found just by sniffing the cypress wood oils, that natural killer cell activity was increased and immune functions improved. So it's not only being in the forest, it's even the smell of the forest, if you can recreate that.
But it does make me wonder, you know, those populations that were being studied, those were local forests that those people were going to. So they were experiencing local aromas that they were used to.
Hmm.
And it does make me wonder whether you can use those same types of aromas in people that don't naturally live there.
Good point.
So, for example, you know, if I take those people and send them to Tucson, Arizona, right? And when I was in Tucson, Arizona, I essentially was thinking, like, everything here is trying to hurt me, right? There's cacti everywhere. Uh-huh. That's like, don't touch me or you will experience pain.
Okay.
Scorpions running around.
That's kind of not fair, though, because if the people who now live in Tucson, Arizona, you've now alienated them. They
love that
landscape.
Exactly.
And to them, that's very calming.
Exactly. So that's
your
what I'm
point.
Wondering. Yeah. Exactly. And so I wonder, too, maybe they've acclimated to some of the aromas, you know, like olive or some of those other smells, lime, citrus, stuff like that, that they might have more of an affinity to?
That's a great question. And I would say that there's also some studies around, you know, you don't have to go to the forest. You can just go by smell, right? Mm-hmm. But there's also some studies around what they're calling urban green space therapy, where even if you're in the middle of a city, just finding one little place where there's grass or some type of small haven where there is some type of nature is also helpful.
Urban green space?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that sounds like what we're doing with the window open.
Oh, it's raining.
It's raining. came on kind of all of a sudden. Anyway, so with this urban green space, what you're saying is even if you live in New York City,
mm-hmm.
going to Central Park is going to provide you some physiologic benefit.
Yeah, and even sometimes they put kind of like plants in sort of a green space on top of buildings, something like that even.
Even that?
Yep.
Even just, what about like AstroTurf?
Nope.
Oh, so you're saying if I go to Topgolf, mm-hmm. which I would love to do if there was one here in Asheville, then that's not going to give me the same sort of forest benefits.
No.
I mean, I wouldn't go today because it's raining, obviously. But you were going to talk about plants?
Well, I was just saying, you know, we've just exhausted the whole forest therapy piece of this. And we also admitted that not everyone's near forests, but there's also plant therapy, plants and flowers. And I think we can all get behind plants and flowers.
I can totally get behind this. And when we look at some of the science behind, quote unquote, plant therapy, it's kind of broken down into two categories as far as what's been studied. They've looked at the visual stimulation effects, so mm-hmm. simply by looking at plants and flowers. And they've also looked at the olfactory. Wow, it's really picking up out there. The olfactory stimulation. The olfactory stimulation experiment. You know, I'm just gonna go ahead and shut the window.
Please, too loud. Now, what were you rambling on about?
Sorry. So there's two different forms of this kind of plant medicine. They're looking at how the plants and the flowers affect your visual stimulation, how you're just by looking at it, how that changes your physiology, or how by smelling the actual flowers and plants, how that can affect your physiology.
We're talking house plants.
We're talking all kinds of plants.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So starting with this one study, they used fresh, odorless roses.
Odorless roses?
That's right. I don't know how they did that, but they were pink, to be specific.
Okay.
And they were looking at heart rate variability, right, as a measure of parasympathetic-sympathetic balance. And what they found was that by stimulation, visual stimulation with these pink odorless roses, it increased parasympathetic activity and rendered a state of relaxation by decreasing sympathetic nervous activity.
Well, they also did other studies with just regular houseplants, like Dracaena duramensis.
I don't know that one.
It's just a houseplant.
It's striped, right?
Yeah. And so what they did is they took people and they had them stand about, 2 feet from this house plant and just stare at it for 3 minutes. And they found that their heart rate variability improved by 13.5% compared to people who didn't look at the plant.
Did they have a control there?
They did.
Because, I mean, I wonder, can you just, like, stare at a wall and then maybe...
No, they had people who were not staring at the plant. And they had people who were staring at the plant and they compared their HRV.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Here's another interesting control, right? So another study where they looked at pansies and they said, well, maybe it's just like flower-like things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so they compared real pansies to artificial pansies.
Get out of here.
No, seriously. And what they determined was that the real pansies, as compared to the artificial, demonstrated an improvement in their heart rate variability.
Well, let me take that a step further.
I'll go for it.
Because they also then just took pictures of flowers as compared to real flowers.
What?
And they found that the real flowers were even better than any type of image. Viewing the actual plant increased the oxyhemoglobin concentrations in your prefrontal cortex. So you actually respond differently to actual plants versus pictures of plants.
Or artificial plants.
That's right.
Like the ones in the corner.
So what goes unseen, because this is an audio-only program, is the fact that in one corner of our podcast studio, we have a half-dead live plant.
Mm-hmm.
In the other corner, we have an artificial plant. So what I'm hearing is that we need to focus on the half-dead live plant rather than the others.
Yeah, that's a good point. And so we're talking about people looking at flowers. Now let's spend a little bit of time about the research where people are smelling aspects of flowers, because they've done this and mostly they're correlating or they're doing experiments with people being exposed to essential oils.
Mm-hmm.
So here again, rose seems to be a very popular one, and essential oils from rose and orange zest were used for people, and they were essentially diluted to different concentrations and people were smelling them for roughly 90 seconds. And the results showed that olfactory stimulation of essential oils from roses and the orange zest decreased oxygenated hemoglobin levels in the right prefrontal cortex. I guess we're really using this right prefrontal cortex as a big indicator for the stress response.
We are. Okay. And there's also some studies here around perilla. And for those of
What's
you
that?
Don't know, perilla is an herb that's used as an accompaniment to sashimi and other Asian dishes. It's also medicinal.
That could be a confounding variable, right? I mean, you could just be getting relaxed because you're thinking about eating sashimi.
Unless you don't like sashimi.
Then maybe it would be a more stress response.
That's right.
It's important to note, too, that these were controlled studies, right? So mm-hmm. with these, they counterbalanced, the stimulation was counterbalanced with no odor as the control.
No odor. How do you control and say no odor?
They used air.
And sometimes there's air has odor.
Does it? Does just air? The air we're breathing right now, does it have a smell?
I don't know.
Does it? I don't smell anything. Should we open the window again?
Yes.
Jeez. Dude, it's really bad.
Look at the trees.
It's like stuff blowing around in here.
Close the window. Okay.
It's really bad out there.
I think that makes the perfect point how powerful nature is.
I think my car windows are down. All right, let's get back into it. Yeah. You still got your notes over there? They blow away.
No, I got them. I got them. Well, another thing on the list is what they call wooden material therapy. So wood.
Interesting. Okay.
Right?
Why do we have to complicate wood with wooden material therapy?
Exactly. Too many words. But they did all the same things, right? How does it smell? Is it an artificial surface? Is it actually wood? They did odor. They did visual. But in this one, they also did tactile. So you can find improvement in your heart rate variability and all those physiological factors by actually touching real wood as opposed to some other plastic surface or metal.
That's fascinating. Mm-hmm. That's fascinating. So you're saying, well, like, when I go out on a hike, not just walk down the trail and everything, but, like, touch the trees.
Right.
Stare at the flowers. Like, just take it in. Mm-hmm. Forest bathing.
Yes.
Right. I'm getting it.
But the other piece is, you know, we talked a lot about how this is hot and niche and cool. It brings up the word that I think everyone's using around this these days, which is earthing.
Oh, yeah. Hashtag earthing. Grounding. We're all talking about it.
Yeah. Some people call it grounding, and it's really just actual direct contact of the skin with the surface of the earth, whether you're barefoot or touching it with your hands.
Interesting. Do you like being barefoot?
I used to. I don't do it a lot. I need to do it more, which is why I find this also fascinating.
Yeah. I think that's common. Mm-hmm. I mean, just speaking from my own experience, like having two kids, they love being barefoot.
Right.
They will go outside and it's like, put your socks and shoes on. And they're like, no.
But I think that's the whole point, right? It's so primal that as a child, you just follow your instincts. And that is the instinct to have contact with the earth's surface.
Yeah. And meanwhile, it terrifies me to not have socks and shoes on. And I think that's common too, right? Because that's why we had to turn the concept of just being outside and barefoot into a term called earthing or grounding. We have to like manually make an intention to do that.
But it's so sad. But the research around earthing and grounding is fascinating because what they're talking about is that they speak about the earth having electrons in its ground, right? So we know the earth's surfaces possesses a limitless and renewed supply of free or mobile electrons.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And so they're talking about how, you know, we talk about free radicals all the time.
Sure.
Oxidative stress.
Yeah.
So they're talking about how you're absorbing the electrons from the Earth's surface to help balance and mitigate oxidative stress.
What? So by literally walking around barefoot, we're absorbing topically electrons that then fuel our cells that interact with oxidative stress systems, tissue gradients, all that sort of stuff.
That's right. So when we say grounding, we're not only just talking about being on the ground. It's actually grounding electrical energy.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was just like, wear your bare feet.
Walking on the ground. No, it's actually grounding from an electrical standpoint.
Okay, I find this fascinating and terrifying because I feel naked without my socks and shoes on.
Well, you're going to have to get back to nature.
I'm going to have to.
Yes. And I think that's why this is such a hot topic these days. It's studied in so many things like pain control, inflammation, sleep. I mean, autonomic and parasympathetic, sympathetic balance. It's fascinating.
Yeah. And I'm seeing here it's been studied in the reduction of primary indicators of things like osteoporosis, improvement in glucose regulation and immune response.
See, fascinating.
It's totally
just
crazy.
By taking off your socks and shoes, Michael.
Okay. Does it work inside a building?
I'm going to recommend that you keep your shoes and socks on here at work.
I mean, I can't go barefoot outside right now.
Okay, so we've learned a lot today, but I do have one last question for you.
Oh, is it the question of the day?
What time is it?
Oh, you know what time it is.
Question of the day.
Still
really bad.
Wait, what time is it? Oh, I think you know what time it is.
Question of the day. Question of the day. Question of
Okay. So here's the problem.
What's that?
This isn't really a question of the day. It was just a question I had for you. Is that okay?
Sure. That fits.
Well, the question is, this is Genova.
Yeah.
We're a laboratory company.
Uh-huh.
And all this episode, we've been talking about grounding and nature therapy.
Correct.
What are some tests we offer here at Genova that might be able to tell you whether or not these therapies are working for you?
That's a great question.
Or if you need them.
Right, right. It's a great question. You know, based on what we were just talking about with the earthing and the grounding, you know, one of the big things there, it seemed to be oxidative stress, mm-hmm. right? So I think about the very first pillar on the front page of the new NutriVal is an assessment for oxidative stress. And then you get from that particular needs for antioxidants. Man, maybe you can just lump in grounding or earthing as far as another additional recommendation there, right?
Right.
And so that's one thing I'd be thinking about. Another thing is they were doing a lot of studying around stress management, cortisol levels, mm-hmm. and HPA axis function, and how it relates to sympathetic, parasympathetic balance and HRV. So I would be thinking about something like our adrenal cortex stress profile to evaluate the HPA axis and see how, if you're getting any improvements from that standpoint as well.
And that data can be very compelling. But I think, you know, the fact that we went into all these therapies, nature therapies and grounding, I think this is just good information for people to try to get outside.
Yeah, I mean, let's think about it. We've got looking at flowers, smelling flowers, touching wood, walking on the ground, mm-hmm. even just experiencing a, you know, looking at a forest as compared to an urban setting. All of that stuff can really be a great reminder that we need to spend a little bit more time outdoors.
And hey, it's spring. Let's get outside as much as we can.
When we can.
Yeah, apparently the weather here is somewhat unpredictable.
Next time on the Lab Report, we're going to talk about testosterone deficiency.
Oh, good. Such a hot topic these days.
Low T, signs and symptoms, and what you can do about it.
You've been listening to the Lab Report. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to our podcast, rate us, and leave us a review. To learn more about Genova Diagnostics, visit our website at gdx.net. There you'll find information on specific testing, educational resources, and how to connect with our show. Call us at 1-800-522-4762 or email us at podcast@gdx.net.
Travis, I have a question, just one question. Why did we spend hundreds of dollars soundproofing this room when there's a rickety old window that is exposed to every element?
The birds were nice, though. I liked hearing the birds.
Yeah, I hope they're okay.